On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh Bass and myself, Marcus Barrahall, we discuss the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant, who has passed away at the age of 41. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Nets podcast. Marcus Barrahall here, along with Josh Bass. This is your source for daily Brooklyn Nets info, updates, opinions, all that good stuff. But today, there is a larger NBA story that's affecting the whole league that Josh and I have to talk about. Kobe Bryant passed away, the legendary Los Angeles Laker, the five-time champion, MVP, finals MVP, multiple times, scoring champ, Olympian, gold medalist, all that stuff. Tons of accolades on the court. He has died at the age of 41, along with his daughter and a few other people. There's like conflicting reports about how many people were actually on the helicopter, but there was a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California today. Kobe Bryant, obviously a legend on the court, one of the best basketball players of all time. Josh, just to turn it over to you for a sec, what was your reaction when you saw the news? How did it hit you? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a shocking thing, and obviously very tragic. I was at my apartment. I had just gotten back from a walk. It was, what was it, 2:30 or 3, I guess, when the news kind of broke. Mm-hmm. And initially, it was just that TMZ report, and I was getting an influx of texts, and then obviously, like, just kind of staring at my phone in shock. And then as more and more news started to circulate, where it was fully confirmed by Woj that Kobe was part of that crash and he was dead. And then some of these other news that started to trickle in, there was a fake Rick Fox rumor. There was a rumor that all four of Kobe's daughters, which were in the helicopter, which would have just been unthinkably tragic. Any death is horrible, and just to see the effect that Kobe had, and obviously the bright future that his daughter Gigi had, being that he was taking her to a bunch of basketball games, and she was someone that seemed to have a really close bond with her father, and also not to mention the other casualties, Gianna's teammate and her parent, and then it seems like there was a sort of a JUCO college baseball coach who was more lauded in the Pacific Northwest, and then two of his family members, and then a couple others. I mean, this whole thing is just beyond terrible. Whatever you think of Kobe Bryant, personally and on the court, he wasn't necessarily my favorite player, but to see the impact he's had on millions, and to know what kind of a mentor he was, and really someone that was a role model for a lot of kids out there, for better or worse, it's just tragic.
Yeah, neither of us, I don't think, was like the biggest fan of his specifically, but just like, it's undeniable how iconic he was. We were talking about it right before we started the podcast, where you could argue maybe like him versus Duncan or him versus Shaq for like the most dominant or best player like of that era, but I think he made the biggest impact in terms of like guys right now, like guys like Devin Booker, guys like Kyrie Irving, like the future stars of the league, they all looked up to him. Even LeBron James, who just passed him on the all-time points list literally less than a day before this happened, just kind of going on and on after the game about how much he idolized Kobe, how much Kobe meant to him, even like just to the level of someone going like from high school to the pros and having that impact right away. He inspired LeBron, who inspired all the guys coming up now, and so he is like inextricably linked to the NBA. He was that guy who connected the Jordan era to what I would now say has been like the LeBron era of this decade and of the 2010s. It's insane that he's gone. And I was thinking about it, like seeing on ESPN, watching the last few hours, like everyone calling in or videoing in to give their thoughts and stuff. And there's all these legends. They have clips from like Kareem. They're showing a tweet from Bill Russell. Like Kobe might be like the best basketball player ever who is now dead, which is crazy. It's like him and Wilt Chamberlain. Like there's still MJ's still around, all these guys are still around. You still see Bill mm-hmm. Russell giving out the finals MVP trophy at the NBA finals. Like the NBA is a very young league, It's only been around for 70 some odd years. So there hasn't really been a ton of like legends who have died. Like a lot of them are still there. I saw something about, I think it was the 50th anniversary, they did like the best players of all time and they brought all those guys out. And I think Pete Maravich at that time was the only one who was not alive. So it's a league that is not used to this kind of thing happening. Obviously it would be shocking regardless, but just like in the context of the NBA, like this is like completely unprecedented. And yeah, like Kobe, like we might not have liked him, but like we were saying, like he's undeniable. And like growing up in New York, you would have friends who would be Laker fans, like strictly because of Kobe, which is insane. Who would have no ties to the city, no ties to anything, but like that team specifically, like the him and Shaq teams, like they really, really resonated in the culture. And they were like, they're the only team to three-peat since Jordan's Bulls. Like so many things that just like are one of one for him. And that kind of impact, seeing like tweets from our friend John from Guam was tweeting out a lot of stuff about them. He grew up in Guam and was like a huge Laker fan, a basketball fan, just because of Shaq and Kobe. So like that impact he had was truly global. I know he had a ton of fans in China too, and like helping to spread the game there. Yeah, just his impact is kind of immeasurable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think, I mean, his combination of kind of like transcendence and star power, I think it's a good point what you said before, because the NBA really hasn't had, I mean, they've had very tragic deaths, Drazen Petrovic, Len Bias, but obviously when you combine that with just the sheer star power of Kobe and the amount of people that he touched in his life, it has created this kind of shockwave throughout the entire sports landscape and the overall landscape. Because you think of Kobe Bryant, I mean, he is someone whose name transcends basketball and transcends sports. Like my mom, who's not a sports fan in the slightest, there's probably only like five recent basketball players that she would know. Mm-hmm. Like she's not going to know Giannis or KD. It's probably Kobe, LeBron, Michael Jordan, Shaq, Steph Curry. Like those are the five, I'd say, transcendent players in like all of pop culture and into society, not just basketball. Not saying anything about either of those players' basketball abilities, even though they're all incredible players. It just goes to show like just how impactful he was on everyone. I think just also the way it happened. I mean, especially since, you know, he retired in 2016, and I'd say over these last few months especially, he was popping up in a lot of places. You know, from a Nets perspective, he was at the game with his daughter, was talking to Kyrie and Spencer Dinwiddie after, has had huge impacts on both those guys. I'd say Kyrie more directly, Spencer more indirectly from Dinwiddie watching him growing up in LA and idolizing him. But it's just crazy. Like he just kind of popped back up into the landscape and was really making the rounds. And now for all of a sudden to be taken away from us so quickly, it just goes to show the fragility of life.
Yeah, and that's a good point about him popping up, because like Kyrie obviously was extremely impacted. You saw there was footage of LeBron getting off the team plane crying. He touched like pretty much every like relevant NBA player right now. There was some, I can't remember who was telling the story, but someone on ESPN earlier today talking about like even a guy like Giannis, who came to the U.S. like relatively recently, was like training with him a couple summers ago and like taking notes in a notebook, like writing down everything Kobe was telling him. And it kind of did have that thing of like big men going to train with Hakeem, where like you just kind of want to soak in everything that this guy has to say. And I think he reached that level for a lot of guys. And I think his game really, really impacted certain guys. Like Devin Booker was tearing up during
same with Beal also, like, and Kemba.
Yeah, like a lot of the guards and like pretty much everyone really. But and you also made a point that it was like the whole sports landscape. Like in the Pro Bowl, Devontae Adams holding up a 2-4 after scoring a touchdown. Neymar had a goal off a penalty kick, held up a 2-4 today. So like and then even like beyond sports, it was like all over CNN. Not to get into like anything political, but there was like a big John Bolton like Trump thing that came out, and it was like not covered at all on CNN. They were just talking about Kobe. Jay Williams called in. His comments on ESPN were extremely moving, because obviously Jay Williams had that motorcycle accident that cost him his career, but thankfully didn't cost him his life. So I'm sure this like hit home for him, especially. There's been comments from MJ, like literally every single like prominent figure, like Obama and Trump both making comments about this. Like, this is the biggest story probably in the world right now, which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely reminiscent of some of the other huge celebrity deaths, whether it be Michael Jackson or what have you. Yeah, it's just, I think the Jay Williams thing was especially poignant because, I mean, I think one of the great things that he did was really try to use it as a means of, and no one wants to hear this right now because everyone's mourning, but as a way of kind of empowering people to take this and kind of use it to better their own lives, understand how quickly these things can end, and hopefully live with more purpose and live a more fulfilled and passionate life. And if that can even help one person, then it's all the more worth it. So I think that was probably one of the things today that I really connected with the most.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point. Did
you think they should have canceled games today?
It was tough because the timing of like the early games, like the first game was at 3:30 Eastern today, and the news kind of came out, like we said, around like 2:33, and then was like not totally confirmed right away. Like, I think that probably because those first games like had to happen just because of the timing of it, they wound up just like letting them all happen. And I'm sure it was like a really tough decision in the league office. Like, having worked there, I remember like I was there when all the like mental health stuff with Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan was happening, and they were like trying to figure out like what kind of like statement they wanted to put out or that kind of thing with that. So I know how much thought they put into this. And it's really tough to say, because I've seen some people say like Kobe was like the ultimate competitor. Like, he would have wanted basketball to keep going, like that kind of thing. But at the same time, like, it did seem like it wore on a lot of the players. Like, we mentioned a couple guys already who were tearing up like on the court, not to mention the guys off the court who were tearing up. And then, the energy seemed off like almost every game. I think the first game didn't have it, but every game after that had the like dual 24-second violations to start the game as a tribute. And like in the next game, which we'll talk about a little bit towards the end of this, but the energy definitely seemed off the first couple of minutes. Like, no one was really sure what to do. Guys were like kind of half-heartedly running around out there. I don't know. I think it would have been completely okay for them to cancel it.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred them canceling it, and I get it's tough logistically, but I think those things can always be worked around. I think the 24-second tribute, violation tributes, and also I saw ones where it was a 24-second violation, the other team would ensue with a 8-second half-court violation.
Yeah.
But I just think that regardless of whether Kobe would have wanted them to play, it's, you know, he was such a fierce competitor, but it's not really, I mean, it's more so about the players that were there, and all of them were affected. And I think it really, it wasn't the right, I don't think it was the right mood for a lot of these guys. I mean, I think everyone could have benefited from taking time to remember him in different ways. And it going right into a basketball game, it felt like it was the wrong sort of tone for me.
Yeah. And that first game, especially, like, Austin Rivers looked pretty devastated. His dad, Doc, they had the Clipper game a little later. He looked pretty pretty shaken. Obviously, Doc, like, coached against him in the finals, and, like, as a former player, probably knew his dad, at least to some degree. It's tough because there probably are players out there who were like, we need to, like, keep playing. Like, this is what he would want. And then there's probably also guys who are like, we shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
Like, Kyrie Irving did not play for personal reasons in this game. He was, I think I saw a quote from Kobe that was like saying that Kyrie was the guy who he's probably closest to of all the current players, which is obviously, that's extremely tough for Kyrie, thinking of him and obviously Kobe's family and everything. But yeah, there's no like thing that would have satisfied everyone probably, but I think canceling the games probably would have satisfied more people.
Yeah, I think I don't think anyone would have been really upset about them canceling the games. I think there's merit for both, but I think probably canceling the games would have been the best for most people involved, and just giving everyone some time to recover and regroup, because especially as you mentioned, the news, like a lot of people had found out just kind of an hour before or so, and especially that first game, I think it was like Nuggets Raptors, those guys were warming up when they found out or right before, so it's like it didn't feel tone deaf, because it's such a tough decision for Adam Silver. But I wish they had postponed the games.
Yeah, I think I agree. There were like really nice moments, like nice tributes and moments of silence and everything, but you could just as easily do that stuff like tomorrow or the next day. And there is that huge Clippers-Lakers game on Tuesday, which will be insane. Like, I can't even imagine what that vibe is going to be.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, listen, the Lakers, I could easily see the Lakers going on and just kind of continuing the fire under them and winning the championship. And I mean, it's just to think that it came the day after LeBron passing Kobe on the all-time scoring list, it really is surreal.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like me and Sarah were just talking recently about like huge celebrities, like what it would be like if they died. Like we mentioned like Jay-Z, Beyonce, like people on that level, and like Kobe definitely hits that mark. And it was crazy that we were like just talking about that the Grammys were tonight, like in Staples Center. Like there were already a ton of people in the area. Like you mentioned the LeBron passing him thing, he was wearing shoes to tribute him like basically 12 hours before Kobe wound up dying. Like it's all very eerie and crazy. Yeah, but the world is pretty crazy. There was basketball. I guess we should talk a little bit about it. There was the game a few days ago, which we can talk about a little bit if you want, the Pistons game. And then there was the Knicks game tonight. Kyrie Irving did not play for personal reasons. The Nets had pretty much everyone else available. DeAndre Jordan was still out. Things were obviously like crazy in that first couple minutes. Like there was no real flow to anything happening.
It was dead silent also.
Yeah. It was, I mean,
wrong choice of words. It was extremely silent.
Yeah, for sure. There were also like not a ton of people in the crowd. But yeah, the vibe was very strange. Eventually it did kind of become a normal basketball game. Which we can talk about for sure. What'd you think of how the game went after those first couple minutes? Because I think we can kind of throw like the first, even like the first 6 minutes of the game kind of away.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, listen, I don't want to kill the Nets. I will, trust me, on future podcasts, but yeah. Their effort was horrible. I mean, allowing this Knicks team to shoot 53% from the field or whatever they did, playing with absolutely zero energy or force, as unfortunately I think we've all become accustomed to with this team. It's dire right now at 19-26. I mean, this is not like a cute like, oh no, don't worry, they'll start coming back. Mm-hmm. This is a team right now in shambles, and they're absolutely fucking terrible. The Pistons game last night, they were extremely lucky to get a win, and for Kyrie having an epic performance and Jared Allen making some plays as well, because they barely deserved to win that game last night with the other lack of energy they played with. I mean, it's just sloppy. Horrible turnovers, guys not rebounding, giving up easy shots, no communication on defense. The list goes on and on, but this is a really team to watch right now that is just not enjoyable, has no flow, and clearly doesn't like playing together.
Yeah, I mean, they've won 3 games in the last month, so that's pretty awful. Kyrie, like you mentioned, was phenomenal in that Pistons game. They didn't have him in this one. Dinwiddie was fine. He was doing a lot of complaining.
He was getting blocked a ton also.
Yeah. And the Knicks killed the Nets on the glass. It was 48 rebounds to 34, so not really close there. No one on the Nets had more than 5 rebounds individually. Julius Randle had 15, including 6 offensive. So he had more offensive rebounds than any Net had in total. That's not great. There were some positives, like Rodion Skurucs, I thought, played really, really well in this game.
Play last night against Detroit, which is shocking to me. Like, I don't know what Kenny's doing at all, honestly. I think Kenny's kind of lost the touch. I'm not saying he should be fired or anything like that, but it's alarming to me that he's kind of lost the thread with this team, I'd say.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. It was good to see him back out there, I guess. I don't really know what was happening in that Pistons game, but regardless, I think that maybe it was because Kyrie was out, so he had to kind of extend the rotation a little more in this game. Rhodey needs to be playing, like, every night. And I think he showed that in this game. He was active defensively, and then on the offensive end, he was doing a really good job of creating. I thought he had some nice, like, pump fakes and drives and kicks. Like, he had one in the first half, I believe, on the left wing, where he kind of waited for the defender, I think it was Knox, to close out, and then kind of blew by him, kicked it to the corner. He made some really nice passes in this game, which was good to see. You know, they need more playmaking outside of those guard positions.
Yeah, and then he had one nice take in the second half where he got to the rim and hit a layup. And I think, I mean, he's shooting the ball really well this season, and that should open up a lot of different things for him. He seems like he's more confident, which is a huge problem at the start of the season. Remember when he was constantly fumbling the ball and traveling, and his ability to, I'd say, like, just make plays happen in general, whether it's alley-oops or on defense or just on the offensive glass, I think is really welcome for this team of guys that, frankly, there's not a ton of athleticism on this team, or guys that make hustle plays. So he's one of the few that can do it, and I think they need to just throw him out there for 20 minutes a game, because he adds an interesting niche to this team that is sorely missing.
Yeah, definitely. And the Nets are in, like, a really easy stretch right now that started with that Pistons game. The next five games are all super winnable. They've got the Pistons again Wednesday, then the Bulls, Wizards, Suns, and Warriors. If the Nets want to, like, actually make a run here, those are all games they should win. They should have won this game as well, but, like, this is a stretch that they need to...
Should they have won this game? Because it's like...
On
paper, they're better, yeah. But it's like they come out so flat, and all of those teams that are going to be playing are basically going to say, oh, like, the Nets, they fucking suck. We could beat them. Like, I don't favor them against any team right now. I don't think they can take anything for granted, because, like, look at their roster. Prince, I think we've all kind of seen that he's exposed. Joe Harris, love him, Mr. Reliable. Temple, like, very inconsistent shooter. He's a solid 7th or 8th man, but he's starting right now. LeVert is probably the single most overrated player in the league.
He was really bad. People still think
he's good. I'm not even sure. He just sucks. I don't know what his deal is.
Yeah, he was atrocious. 2 for 12 in this game. 0 of 6 from 3. It felt like there were so many possessions where the Nets had great ball movement that led to a wide-open LeVert 3, which the Knicks were kind of happy to give. And Sarah Kustak just kept, like, lauding the Nets ball movement on those plays, and it's like that's kind of what the Knicks are, that's what they want, you know, like it's good passing, but it's leading to a shot that the defense wants you to take, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not one to, I love the Nets broadcasting crew, but especially I'd say these last 10 or 15 games, the way that they've been, like, just even the Nets could just be getting throttled, but there's basically no commentary on the bad stuff, but then the needle in the haystack play that the Nets actually do something right, they're getting a big compliment on. And it's like, I want something. I mean, the fans care about this team so much. I care about this team so much. I want announcers that will give it to us straight. And the way that, I mean, this whole season has been an unmitigated disaster. I think that's the only good thing has been KD's recovery seems like it's going well.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, what is one thing that's really been a meaningful difference maker that will help the team in the seasons to come? I mean, everything has gone wrong. I'm questioning everything about this team, from the general manager to the coach to some of the players. No one's safe.
Yeah, I mean, on the whole, yes, it has been a disaster. Everything's gone wrong. There's definitely bright spots. I think Nick Claxton's looked good in the time he's gotten.
Yes,
like,
sure.
Rhodey's looked better the last couple weeks. Dinwiddie had a great stretch.
Considering what Rhodey's done
before
this, like, coming into last season and then compared to what he's done this season, and all the struggles he's gone through, like, that's still been a step back.
For sure, yeah. And the season's been incredibly disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the point where you wonder, like, who, like, how this team next year is going to just all of a sudden flip the switch and have that confidence, you know? Because outside of, like, LeBron James-led teams, like, these situations don't just, like, switch on the drop of a dime. And maybe KD comes back at full strength and, like, if that's the case, then he's on that LeBron level and he can easily, like, help elevate these guys. But if he comes back and he is, like, only 80% of where he was, then this team probably cannot win the finals.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else to say on this?
No, I mean, this tonight's game was, I think, obviously, there's a lot of outside factors where you don't want to attribute the mess to solely the team's performance when they have a lot of stuff going on, but it was definitely disheartening. But I think the performance that Kyrie gave yesterday, like, shows why he is a superstar in this league.
Yes.
His ability to get red hot, carry the team. He had a very ill-advised shot at the end of the game where he gave Detroit enough time to tie it up. And even then, there was a lot of things that I fault with the entire Nets team last night in Detroit. But Kyrie was definitely not one of them. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. Obviously, he should take as much time as possible to as he needs to mourn, because him and Kobe were obviously extremely close. But I think in terms of the on-court basketball stuff, it's definitely it's not in the forefront given all the other stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely tempted to throw out most of what happened. Hopefully, with a couple days off, they can regroup. Maybe Kyrie comes back soon. That would be a nice boost. So yeah, no games till Wednesday. We'll be back soon. Make sure you follow the podcast at Locked On Nets. You can follow Josh at JMBass_. I'm at Marcus Barahal. We'll be back soon. Obviously, thoughts with Kobe Bryant's family, with everyone who was affected by this, the other victims' families as well. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon.